In the fifth act of Shakespeare's Macbeth, we have one of the most famous of all soliloquies. These are the words that Macbeth opines. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time. And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Macbeth has just heard that his wife has died, and he's now taking stock of his own indifference to the event. Death, or our remain to the dust, seems to him merely the bad act in a very bad play. An idiot's tale full of bombast and melodrama, what's referred to as sound and fury, but without meaning, signifying nothing. And in this language, Shakespeare has the monotonous tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And it has that mechanical beat of time that carries this poor player king from scene to scene, leading him to conclude that in the end, all of life signifies nothing. How we think about our lives is very much influenced by what we see to be their deeper meaning and significance. Is there a master playwright? Is there a director, so to speak, whose skillful care is shaping and leading life somewhere? Or are we, so to speak, just left on an empty, meaningless stage of make-believe? A life that in the end signifies nothing. Have you ever been in that place where you've maybe had to deal with the thought that is there a deeper meaning? Is there a God? Is there a script? And indeed, how we come to the resolution of this question affects the way we live every day. When we begin to see the deeper meaning of life, that it is actually governed by love, then all of life will become very different. But if we think that life has no meaning, that there is no sense of any true love, it's sort of like sewing with a needle that has no thread. It will end up signifying nothing, and all of that sewing will have been pointless. On the other hand, if your life and my life, if our lives, are taking in hand the thread of love, and that the thread of love is being woven into the very fabric of our lives, we needn't conclude with Macbeth in these words, life is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. No, instead, we turn to St. Paul, and we hear this poetry. For now we see but through a mirror dimly. But then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will fully know, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Corinth, where Paul was writing this letter, was a center of mirror manufacturing. But first century mirrors were not like the mirrors we have in our bathroom. They weren't made of glass, but of burnished bronze. And this meant that although you could see your image in the mirror, you could not see your image clearly. You couldn't see a full representation of the person. It was somewhat distorted. So Paul is drawing a comparison. Just as the Corinthians would have seen dimly their reflection in the mirror, so too from our present experience, we do not see God face to face, but we see him, yes, but dimly. Paul says, that for us to see God in this present life, it's helpful to have this mirror analogy in mind. Yes, we perceive him, but we do not see him immediately the way we see one another immediately. How we see God now is what's called his mediated presence, mediated through the sacraments of the church, mediated by the way we are seeking to grow in love for one another, and indeed mediated in the created world in which we live. But St. Paul says, the day will come when we will see God face to face. The day will come when we will no longer need the virtues of faith and hope. And these are the virtues that help us through this world. What is faith? Faith is that virtue whereby we trust in all of the biblical promises that have already been fulfilled. Like we heard in today's gospel when Jesus says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And so when we have faith, we want to discover and understand and apply all that God has fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But to have hope is to trust in all of the scriptural promises that have not yet been fulfilled. And there are many of them. Like, for instance, our hope of heaven. Although that's been realized in the lives of many, it has not been realized in our lives yet. So we believe in that with hope. And then most significantly, the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is spoken of repeatedly. But no one has experienced that yet because that scriptural promise has not yet been realized. So Paul says to have faith and hope is vitally important, but what is most important of all is to have love. And then as we hear in this beautiful passage that what St. Paul is wanting us to see is that when we have the thread of love and we allow that thread to be woven through the texture of our lives, we discover something of great significance. In that passage that was read from his letter to the Corinthians, one of the things Paul says is, I will now show you a more excellent way. But if you read it in the original Greek language, it's actually stronger. In the Greek, it goes like this, I will show you the most excellent way. And what St. Paul is wanting us to see and to understand is that there is nothing greater than the way of love. It is the most excellent way. And so in the reading that we have, he speaks about people who might speak in tongues, who have the gift of prophecy, who have the gift of healing, who are even willing to be martyrs for their faith. But if this is not infused with love, Paul says you're kind of like a noisy gong. A clanging cymbal. What does he mean by this? Well, in Corinth, in the pagan temples, they would have used gongs and clanging cymbals as part of their worship. And so what Paul is saying here is the following, that if our life, if our worship is not infused, if the golden thread of love is not being woven into everything, it's no different than pagan worship. And so what does St. Paul want to teach us about the way of love? Well, we need to understand the two dimensions. And if you have your Sunday Missal, you might look at this with me. He first of all will speak about that love is patient. He'll then go on to say that love is kind. And what you'll notice that the apostle does next is he'll show all of the ways in which we can live in a way that is contrary to the way of patience, the negative statements that he makes in this passage. And then he'll go on to show positively what it means to live the kindness of love. And it's important to remember that the kind of love that is being spoken of here is the love of God. It's the word agape, which is the love that finds its full expression in Jesus Christ. One of the things you might do with this passage, particularly verses 4-8, is read through it and put Jesus' name wherever you see the word love. And then after you've done that, put your name there. I've done this exercise numerous times as a way of doing an examination of conscience. And it's a way to identify how I am growing in love and ways in which I still am called to grow in that love. So let's just think now for a couple of minutes about Paul saying love is patient. And then he goes on to describe the opposite of patience. Love is not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Because if you think about it this way, jealousy, boastfulness, arrogance, rudeness, insisting on our own way, being irritable and resentful are all expressions of impatience. And so Paul says that the love of God is first of all patient. But then he'll go on to express positively that love is kind. And what, St. Paul, does that kind of love look like? It rejoices in the right. It loves and bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. In this passage, St. Paul makes it very clear that in this world, we will only love imperfectly because we see imperfectly. But one day, when we see God face to face, we will be in the fullness of the one who is love himself. And so on this fourth Sunday of ordinary time, I've reflected with you on this one reading this evening, because this is perhaps one of the most beautiful and most well-known passages of the whole of the Scripture. And when we think about what St. Paul is inviting us to here, it's the exact opposite from what Macbeth concluded. For Macbeth had determined that there is no way, there is no meaning, there is no golden thread of love being woven into our lives. And so it signifies nothing. Nothing could be further from the truth for the Apostle St. Paul, who in his poetry confidently declares that one day the partial will come to an end, and at the completion of our earthly journey, we will be ushered into the way of the fullness of love himself. May this inspire you and me, may it inspire us to weave the thread of love into the fabric of our lives this and every day.